We're going to discuss the nusach of Hamotzi as we've been learning all week. So we got to the bottom of Lamech Chesam Ralph, and the Gemara had a machlokes what nusach to say Hamotzi. Let's read this inside the Gemara just to appreciate this a little bit. The Gemara says Tani Rabbanan, Ma'hi Omerha. What bracha do you say when it comes to Hamotzi? So the first opinion says Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz. You say Hamotzi, and Rabbi Nechemi Omer Motzi Lechem Min Haaretz. You say Motzi without the hay. So what's this machlokes? So Rava says, I'm a Rava, b'motzi kliyama lo pligi da'afik mashma. Everyone says motzi works, because motzi implies, what was da'afik mean? So Rashi says, shehotzi kfar, that you already in the past, you already said motzi, it means already HaKadosh Baruch has brought the bread out of the ground. Pasuk says, dichsev kel motzi am Yitzrayim. The machlokes is, what does ha-motzi mean? Does ha-motzi mean the past also, or does ha-motzi mean the future? So the Gemara explains, according to the Rabbanon, Savi Hamotzi, the Apik Mashma, Hamotzi also means the past, and therefore it works. He brings a Raya, Hamotzi, Lechamayim, Mitzur Chalamish. And Rechamim means, Sara Hamotzi, the Mapik Mashma means the future. And he brings a Raya. So that's Machlokas. Does Hamotzi mean the past as well, or does Hamotzi mean the future? So Rabbanon thinks Hamotzi works, and Rechamim thinks Hamotzi does not work. So the Gemara talks about this story on the bottom now, that Mishtabchin Lev, you go 5 lines up from the bottom, or 6 lines up, Mishtabchin Lev, Rabbanon Rabbi Zeira, es bar Rav Zvid. So Rabbanon were telling Rabbi Zeira, what a great person Rav Zvid was. The Achud Rabbi Shim bar Rav Zvid, the Adam Gadol, he was a big person, a big Gadol, Ubaki Bebrachos, he was a big expert when it came to Hilchos Brachos. So Amar Lehem, so he says to them, L'chsheyavau liadchem heviyau liadi. When Bar Zvid comes to your hand, please bring him to me. I want to see what a great gadol he was. So Ikle Lagave, one time he came, and Afikle Rivsa, they took out a piece of bread. Upasach Vamar Motzi, so he says Motzi instead of Hamotzi. So he said, Amar Zehu Sha'omim Alav Adam Gadol. This is the person, he says Motzi instead of Hamotzi. That's the person who we think is such an Adam Gadol. Ubaki Brachosu. So he says, Bishma, this would have made sense if he said Hamotzi. Then I would know he's an Adam Gadol. Okay, exactly, that's a Chiddush. So Ashminan Dhaima Vashminan Dehilchasa. Kraban, he's coming to mechadish something to us that everyone knows Motzi works. Saying Hamotzi is a bechidish. Had he said Hamotzi, I would have known what a great gadol he was. But if he says, since he said Motzi, my Kamashman, what's the chidish there? So Rashi said, the Gemara says, he said Motzi, he wanted to take the safe route. Ihu David Lafuke Mnafshim Ipluksa. He wanted to remove himself from a machlokas. If I was to offer you two options, one was a safer route, one was a riskier route, I would have taken the safer route. So that's what he did. So the Gemara ends up being Hilchasa Hamotzi, we paskin to say Hamotzi, which is what we do. We say Hamotzi Lechem Naretz, we paskin like the Chachamim, that Hamotzi means lover as well, in the past. So that's how we paskin, that's what brach we say, is Hamotzi. But still the question remains, why wouldn't we say the more obvious answer, Motzi, take a safer route when it comes to brachos? That's the question that all the Yishonim are dealing with. Why do we choose Hamotzi over Motzi? So the number of different explanations we learned in the different Rishonim. The first one is, I don't know, did you guys see the Gilyoni Hashas of Yosef Engel? I didn't see it on the Marmar Komos here in the copies. So Rav Yosef Engel, the Gilyoni Hashas, explains the following. He says, a very interesting answer. He quotes from the Sefer HaPardes. Rashi had a number of different Sfarim that we don't have. Either Rashi himself wrote it or in the base Medrash of Rashi was written. He says the reason why we say Motzi is because of the following.
He had them. He wrote them or he had them to read from Rashi?
Rashi wrote them. Either wrote them or someone in his base medrash wrote them. So he says a very interesting answer why we paskin to say Hamotzi. So follow this for a second. He says, if you were to paskin Motzi, that Motzi is the right bracha, and I were to say Hamotzi accidentally, I would think Hamotzi would not be a good bracha, and then I would say bracha, I would say another bracha just to be safe, but that might not be good because Hamotzi really is also a good bracha. But if I were to say that you're supposed to say Hamotzi, which is what we do, and then I accidentally said Motzi without the hay, I would know for sure that is still a good bracha, and I wouldn't repeat the bracha, because Motzi, everybody knows, is a good bracha. So it's a safer route if a person makes a mistake. I'll repeat that again. If we were to paskin Motzi, and I were to accidentally say Ha Motzi, I would think maybe that wasn't a good bracha, and would force me to say, I would think, I would have to say a new bracha, incorrectly, which would be a bracha levatala. But if you paskin Ha Motzi, and I would accidentally say just Motzi without the hay, I would know, oh, Motzi also works, because everybody knows Motzi means also in the past. So for that technical reason, explains how Motzi was a better thing to say. It's going to avoid any other issues. That's what the Rav Yosef Engel quotes from the Sefer Pardes.
I'm trying to think back to Hamavarach, right? So what's the thing with Hamavarach later?
That issue of Hamavarach.
That's why we're bringing it up. Right. And then when he gets shunned, saying it in public.
Right, he shouldn't have said that because everyone knows that's okay. But he went to Hamavarach, right? That was the exception. They went to Hamavarach. Right?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
But everyone knew the other way was okay. But it changed, right?
Let's see.
You're trying
to figure out that.
That's what I was trying to do.
That same calculation.
We're all trying to do. What's the difference between that case and that case?
Right. So, what was it because of that reason? Because they said if you made the mistake, it wouldn't be an issue. Is that
no,
the same?
No.
Right.
It wasn't about a mistake.
Right.
Right.
I don't think it was about a mistake. Yeah.
It was a dirty pot. They called them. What
did
they call them?
Right. A black
pot. Right. Well, yeah. Some insult.
Someone who doesn't take showers.
Right.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. So that's the first answer of Yosef Engel. Again, he was concerned that if you were to change the Nusach, would that require you to say Nubrach or not?
And does this whole question come from that Pasuk, or was there more information that we don't know?
What do you mean?
From the Pasuk number 7 in the Torah that says something about coming out of Mitzrayim. Is the whole Raya of Motzi HaMotzi from that Pasuk? Or is there more information that we don't know? The disagreement between...
That's the source, the Psukim, exactly. That's the source. How we Paskin is a different story. But that's the source, is the Psukim that's brought in. Okay, now we have Shitas Rush. Shitas Rush, which you made reference to before, about the reason why we chose HaMotzi over Motzi, even though HaMotzi is a greater Chiddush, you would think take the safer route. Because he said that the Gemara's in Psachim Daf Zayin, Gemara talks about what bracha to say on bir chametz. Is it al bir chametz or leva'er chametz? With a lir or versus an al. And there's a huge machlokas Rishonim about different nuschos, different texts for many brachos. In that discussion, the Rush writes that the reason why paskin ha-motzi over motzi is because le'ashmienu chidush bebirchosim. In order to show chidushim within brachos. The big chidush itself. Why do you have to show a chidush in brachos? I don't know the reason. I was asking Rav Weinberg about it. He said he saw on a sefer once, and he never got it to me, so maybe he'll get it to me tonight. It's too late for the shir. But somehow a person is supposed to show chidushim in brachos. I don't know why, but that's the klal. So when you have the option of a chidush versus a safer route, take the chidush route. That's
but
what the Rosh
says. But the Gemara always works.
Nope.
Where you say, you question, why didn't they use the bigger chiddush in learning? Isn't that what we always do? They try and come up with the biggest chiddush.
Sometimes, in terms
and if
of
it's not there,
sometimes
you say, why didn't they? Because it would have been this, and then there's a good reason why it wasn't.
Great. So sometimes in the Gemara, in their methodology, they'll do that in the Mishnah. They'll teach a greater chiddush.
Right.
But that's not necessarily with brachos. Brachos doesn't. I hear it's a good model to use, but brachos might be different.
And then what I keep thinking when we compare the first case and the last case, which nobody seemed to have discussed, was in private or in public, right?
What do you mean?
Giving a big chiddush to the olam when they're in the shul is different than when you have three guys around the table, tamidei chachamim, doing a brachas. Maybe it's okay to give a bigger chiddush when you're in a small group of tamidei chachamim, and what you teach to the olam is
a different idea. Okay,
no?
I hear. No one really elaborates too much on this idea of chiddush, but I hear what you're saying. The Ritva himself says something different. The Ritva says, you know why Hamotzi is better than Motzi itself? Because Hamotzi, we said the word Motzi means avar, means past tense. Hamotzi means past. Hamotzi could also mean future. And it could also mean present.
So
Hamotzi covers everything. It covers all different tenses, all the past, the present, and the future. And he explained that the Chita...
This is the Rosh.
The Chita, here, let me go. The chita comes out all the time. It's growing all the time, constantly. And therefore, hamotzi, it's coming out all year long. All season long, grains are constantly growing, apparently. So hamotzi is more appropriate to be said with regards to chita because it happens, it's happening now, it's going to happen more. There's constant growing when it comes to the chita. As opposed to when it comes to fruits on the tree, the fruits come seasonally only. They only come one season after the next season. You can't say, habore, priyaitz, the one who's constantly creating peros, because it doesn't come all the time. It comes every season. Strawberries come during one season, and they don't come until the next season. And therefore, Apparently, Rit does. I don't know how wheat grows. I thought it also did, but according to what he's saying here, the Ritva says it's possible that the Chita comes as part of a general topic of Mine Zraim, he says. And Mine Zraim, all types of seeds are growing wheats and barleys and oats and spelt. Maybe
when
he's taking more
juice.
Exactly. Maybe that's what he's trying to do. And therefore, you say Hamotzi because it's constantly coming, as opposed to Preros are not constantly coming, they're coming at each season.
That's a good answer.
And that's what the explanation that the Ritva says. Hamotzi is actually more appropriate. So when you read the Gemara, it sounds like Hamotzi is not as appropriate. Hamotzi is really secondary, but it's supposed to show Chidushim like the Rosh says. The Ritva takes a completely different avenue, different perspective here, that Hamotzi means it's constantly coming out, and for that reason, Hamotzi is definitely better. Okay.
That's an easy explanation.
For something that didn't occur. Aren't we always saying a bracha thanking the Rishon? What he's done now.
No, the bracha of Rishon is not a thanking bracha. It's a praise. No. It's a, not praise. It's a matir, but you're praising Hashem of some sort, allowing you to take part in it. So you're praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatness, which is Hamotzi. They constantly brings out Bechita.
We paskin praise, not thanks.
For the first bracha.
For this food that he's allowed us to have.
No. Again, listen. Rab, listen. It's not thanks. We're not thanking Hashem.
Praise.
For what we're praising it, his capabilities. So his capabilities is he constantly gives us chita. He's constantly giving us bread. Hamotzi means he's doing it then, he's doing it now, and he's doing it in the future. So not about what he gave us for this particular item, what he's capable.
You thank somebody for the future, you don't have to thank him again. You already did thank him.
No, you're getting, you're not you're not thanking him.
Take out the word thanks.
You're not thanking.
Praise.
So you're praising his strength. That's what you're doing. The strength is that Kadosh Baruch Hu is constantly bringing up bread here. Okay. Now, the Bach says something very similar as well to what the Ritva says. The Bach, who comments on the side of the Torah, he writes, according to my understanding, that the bracha should be a motzi as well. Because a person is supposed to have the kavana, l'sha'avar, what happened, and l'haba, what's going to happen in the future. So that's exactly what the Ritva says. So the Bach was mechaven to the Ritva. Okay, now Tosos has a different reason. So right now we have Gilyon Hashas.
Mem, to the letters.
Exactly. So Gilyon Hashas says what he says in terms of if you switch hamotzi motzi, you might think you made the wrong bracha and would be a bracha latala. We have the Rosh says you have to show your chidushim when it comes to brachas. The Ritva says Hamotzi is the better bracha because it means he's constantly bringing out bread. So now the Tosfos says, let's look Tosfos inside because we have a few different points we want to mention on Tosfos. Tosfos says on the top here, Lam Nechesim Beis, Dibra Maskil Vehilchas HaMotzi. He says, why do you paskin Hamotzi V'afal Pish Dibimotzi Chuliyam Alo Pligi? Even though Motzi is a safer route because everybody agrees it works, Dafik Mashma means Motzi meant he did in the past. So you know why? And the reason is not to mix the letters, the word letters up, because it would be the olam and motzi next to each other. You might swallow one of the mem, so therefore ha motzi would separate between the two mems.
Does it say where it says in the Yerushalmi? Is it a brachos also?
You want to look it up?
Is it brachos also?
I don't know.
Is it as simple?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Brachos also.
V'afa gab dibelechem. Min namika eruv shayin. What do you mean? We all say hamotzi lechem min. Lechem and min are also next to each other. Shouldn't we be concerned? Lechem min. Those two mems get mixed stuck up. So he says shiny hasam the kruxiv. That was different because lechem min is actually derived from a pasuk. The pasuk in Tehillim says matzmiach chatzir lebehema ve'esav lavoda sa'adam lehotzi lechem min ha'aretz. The pasuk says so. Since the pasuk says Lechem min ha'aretz, we could also use that same nusach. We don't want to change the pasuk around, even though there is a concern of switching up and swallowing one of the letters. We say keep that part. But ha'olam motzi, that we want to separate because that's not based on the pasuk. So we throw in the hey there ha'motzi. So a completely different avenue that he throws in there.
If it's in pesukim, like in Shema, like in Tehillim, there's nothing to discuss. But if we're chachamim and we're writing brachas, we wouldn't intentionally compose it like that.
Correct. Okay, now the Rashba goes along the same understanding of Tosfos, but he asks the same question of why do we say lechem min haaretz if it's really concerned about swallowing one of the letters up? So we should say lechem ha min haaretz, also separate it. So he says not because of a pasuk that we want to keep lechem min haaretz, rather it's because lechem ha min haaretz means nothing. It doesn't make sense. You couldn't say it. You can't say hamotzi versus motzi. That's a possibility. But lechem ha-min haaretz doesn't make sense. That's not grammatically correct. And for that reason, we couldn't do lechem ha-min haaretz. We're forced into saying lechem min haaretz. I mean, you can't say something because we're concerned we're going to swallow a letter. Let's change the grammar, make it incorrect grammar. It's only if it's a proper grammar could you change it. But since we have no option, we have to leave lechem min haaretz and hope that nobody swallows up one of those mems.
And it sounds too much like common.
Could be also. The other answer, which I guess I myself in my notes I suggested once, is that we're only makpid on swallowing up the letters when it's a more essential part of the bracha. So the Gemara later on, we're going to see, maybe in a few weeks from today, that when it comes to brachas, every single bracha has to have Hashem's name in it. You have to say Baruch Atah Hashem. That's necessary to be there. And there's a machlokas where you also have to mention Malchus in the bracha. Now all our brachas have Malchus. It says Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu, Melech HaOlam. Right. So if Yochanan Pasens, you have to say Melech HaOlam, and without Malchus, you don't get the proper bracha. It's not a good bracha. And others say, no, without Malchus, you still get the bracha. If you just say Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu, or it's Baruch Atah Hashem, Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz, and you leave out the word Malchus, some say you're Yotze. We paskin not. So there's a big discussion how that works. For example, just to show you, when it comes to the bracha of Shmona Esrei, so Shmona Esrei doesn't have Malchus in it. So if it's really true that Rabbi Yochanan holds every bracha has to have Malchus in it, Shmona Esrei doesn't say Malchus, so that's not a bracha. So Tosus answers, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Elokei Avraham. Elokei Avram showing he's the God of Avram itself is considered Malchus. It doesn't have to be the word Malchus. It has to be shown in Kodesh Baruch Hu's Malchus, his kingship over the world. So you need Malchus according to Rabbi Yochanan. So again, I wrote this as maybe a suggestion. I don't know if it's true. If you say Ha'olam Motzi, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam Motzi, then you're swallowing up one of the letters of Ha'olam, Melech Ha'olam, he's the king of the world, then you're swallowing up the letter of an essential part of the bracha, Melech Ha'olam Motzi. So that's the problem. You're taking out Malchus, which is very, very important to the bracha. But when it comes to later on, Lechem Min Ha'aretz, that mem is not an essential part of the bracha, and maybe we could allow one to swallow up the letter. Suggestion, I never saw it anywhere, not the greatest answer, but threw it out there anyways.
It's just when you say you're afraid of swallowing a letter,
mm-hmm.
when you make Kiddush on Friday night, and even in Shomlech, there are sometimes words they put an accent over. Most people don't pronounce it. I'm a beginner, and wonder, am I not supposed to say it this way? And I think it's the mem on the shin, where you actually should pronounce the letter as a separate entity. Why couldn't they just do that to eliminate the other problem that is about swallowing the mem? Because a lot of the words, and I don't know what I said to, I'm trying to think of the word where it does get swallowed, the whole right. word.
Okay, yeah,
what's your question? Why not put an accent?
Why not put an accent on it?
They didn't have that concept. That concept of accent points didn't exist. It's not in like any of the grammars that we have. Yeah, that's an added thing. It's a very helpful thing, but it's not part of what we have.
But that's
not an option that they had that they were working with. And let's move now to the Mishnah Mem Tes Amud Beis. The Mishnah tells us that was a discussion of Baruch Hu. What bracha to say in Baruch Hu? That was Machlokes, because we just read inside quickly that Bana Mem Mem Tes Amud Beis, the Mishnah there on the bottom.
Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yishmael.
There's four lines up from the bottom. It's in the Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Akiva. So, Amar Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, "Ma'amatina bebeis knesses, just like you find in the shul, echad merubim, echad muatim. Whether you have 1,000 people in the shul or you only have 10 people in the shul, Omer Baruch Hu Es Hashem. You just say Baruch Hu Es Hashem, and there's no changing of which nusach to say. Remember, the Mishnah was talking about what nusach to say for a mezumin. We know when there's 3 people, you say one nusach. When there's 10 people, you say Elokeinu. And then the Mishnah had other ideas of if there's 1,000 people, if there's more people." Rabbi Kiva says, no, once there's 10 people, you don't start changing things around. Rabbi Yishmael comes along and says, you know, you don't say Baruch Hu Es Hashem, you say Baruch Hu Es Hashem HaMevarach, which is how we paskin. Okay, do you say HaMevarach or do you not say HaMevarach when saying Baruch Hu? So, if you go to the Gemara now in Daf Nun, which you guys saw already, the Gemara talks about Raphim Bar Papa once visited the shul of a Da'avi Giber, and he was reading from the Torah. And they said Baruch Hu Es Hashem, and then he didn't say HaMevarach. And everyone else said Baruch Hu Es Hashem HaMevarach. So what's going on here? How come Raphim said Baruch Hu Es Hashem? We paskin like Rabbi Shmuel, that you're supposed to say Baruch Hu Es Hashem HaMevarach. That's what the Gemara says. Now what's the difficulty with this?
That's why you call him a name.
Exactly. The difficulty with this Gemara is, everybody agrees to say Baruch Hu Es Hashem HaMevarach. So what's wrong with saying Baruch Hu Hashem? Why is that such a big deal? That's the question of the Taz. The Taz wanted to know what's the difference. Let's look the Taz up. One second, let me pull that Taz up. Where's that Taz? Here we go. So the Taz, this is on Simon Kuf Samach Zayin Sif Katan Dalet.
Any comments on what?
He wants to know the difference between this sugya of Hamotzi versus Motzi and the sugya of Baruch Hu. So he quotes this Gemara. I'm going to explain the Machlokas in just a second. See, quotes the whole Gemara, the Mishnah and the Gemara. And the Gemara, and Rashi points out...
Is it commentary on the Shulchan Aruch?
Yeah, the Rashi points out that it's better to pass like Rabbi Yishmael to say Baruch Hu Es Hashem HaMevarach, because even Rabbi Akiva's Moda, when you say HaMevarach, it's a better bracha. HaMevarach is better. So meaning everybody agrees, both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael agree, Baruch Hu Es Hashem HaMevarach is a better bracha. So the question becomes, so we said before when it comes to Motzi versus Motzi, we don't take the opinion that everyone agrees to. We take the Chiddush. Rashi, you have to take the more Mechadish, the more Chiddush of a bracha. You should have said Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, rather, just that alone, to tell you that that's the Chiddush. That's the harder Shita. So how come this case is different? We should have passed like Rabbi Akiva, take the Das Yachid, just like we did to say Hamotzi. That's the question he asks for the Rush. Now, according to the other opinions, according to all the other answers we gave, the Tosfos and whatnot, who says that the reason why we say Hamotzi is because we don't want to swallow the letters up, that's not relevant here at all. You can't ask a question. All the other answers we answered why we say Hamotzi, none of those have a question. The question is only posed to the Rush, whose shita is that we always show the Chiddush when it comes to Brachas. So if that's the position, why don't we show the Chiddush here in Baruch Hu and say Baruch Hu Hashem alone and not Baruch Hu Hashem HaMevarach? Baruch Hu Hashem is the greater Chiddush. So that's the Taz's question. It's a wonderful question. So he answers as follows. He says, when it comes to brachas, there are two options you could always take. It's not that the rush is every single bracha, you always have to take the more chiddush of a bracha. Sometimes you have to take what everybody agrees on, the most agreed upon bracha, as opposed to the greater chiddush. That's what he says.
There's, say that again. You need,
you need one of two. You either need to show a greater chiddush, or you have to take the position that everybody agrees on.
Well, that's contradictory.
No, you have two options. You don't always take the greater chiddush. When we understand the rush, we initially thought that you always take the greater chiddush. If I got 10 people saying A and one person saying B, I would think you always take B. You always take the greater chiddush.
Okay.
That's what you would initially think. The Taz says it can't be true because I have a Gemara here in Brachos where we're not taking the chiddush. We're taking the opinion that everybody agrees on. So clearly there's a steer of the question in the rush. The Taz says it must be we have to re-understand the sheet of the rush. The Rush says it's not true across, we don't always across the board take the greater chiddush.
Okay.
Sometimes you take the greater chiddush,
okay. And
sometimes you take the opinion that everybody agrees on.
Okay.
And you have to know which case is. So he says when it comes to the case of brachos, the Rush chooses to take the greater chiddush. When it comes to...
That's Hamotzi,
exactly. When it comes to the case Hamavarach, he says, let's see, we don't say that we follow the chiddush of Rabbi Akiva, because that's not such a chiddush. We always passing like Rabbi Akiva. The klal is throughout Shas. If you look at the end of Maseches Brachos, the end of Maseches Brachos has what's called Mevo HaTalmud. I mentioned this in the past. There's an introduction to the Gemara. You know, when I was in high school, I started learning Gemara. I started learning when I was in elementary school. But in high school, they gave us a lot of introductory classes to Gemara, who wrote it, history background, some rules, some... So one of the things we didn't learn there, but it's important to know the context. So the halach is, there's certain rules we have in Shas. Rav and Abaye, we always passing like... Abaye, except for six exceptions. When it comes to Rebbe always mechaveiro. He always goes over his friend, unless it's velo mechaveiro. If it's Rebbe against two people, we don't paskin like him. Rebbe against one, we do paskin. There's a lot of these rules that the Gemara itself says.
I missed that class.
Right. And at the end of the Gemara, in this Mevo'at Talmud, it gives you all the list of all these different rules we have.
Sure.
Or like it says, you know the Rishon, on the back of the Gemaras, on the Rif, it's called Nemuke Yosef.
Yeah.
He appears in a number of the Gemaras. So there's a line that appears in the Gemara two or three times when Rabbi Yosef Aglili, is in a Machlokas, we pass like Rabbi Yosef, because it says, Nimuko Imo, the depth is within him. Rabbi Yosef was able to always come to the depth, so it says, Nimuko Imo, he's correct. So we always pass like Rabbi Yosef Aglili. Okay. So the klal is Rabbi Akiva, we always pass like Rabbi Akiva.
Versus Rabbi Yishmael or against anyone?
Against anyone. Rabbi Akiva is always against whoever he goes against, Rabbi Akiva is always right. So to pass like Rabbi Akiva in this case is not a chiddush. We always pass like Rabbi Akiva. The chiddush in this context is actually like Rabbi Yishmael And also, that would be, everyone would be in agreement. So there's no chiddush. The chiddush is not even an option here in this Gemara.
So we're not arguing. We're ruling by the chiddush.
No, he says it not ends
but
up.
But the chiddush is the other one. The other guy.
So he says he's not saying that's such a chiddush, though. It's not such a great chiddush. It's really possible like Rabbi Shmuel because everyone agrees to Rabbi Shmuel. Not because Rabbi Shmuel is a chiddush.
No.
Because
the chiddush doesn't apply here because
exactly. He's neutralized the option of a chiddush. It's not a chiddush anymore. That's what he says.
So the rule of the chiddush kind of exists, but this isn't in
there. Exactly the point. This chiddush, there's no chiddush in this case because Rabbi Kiva, even though he sounds like a chiddush, it's not because we always pass like him anyways. The chiddush would be to pass him like Hamotzi is the chiddush over Motzi. That's what the Taz explains. I think it's a fascinating understanding. Okay, let's go a little further now.
It's not so complex. It's pretty simple.
Okay.
That's a good way to throw out the chiddush. We always answer like him. It's not a chiddush.
Right. Okay, let's go back to that Tosfos for a second.
That's all it is. It's that simple. Yeah?
Yeah, very, very simple.
Fascinating confusion.
No, but that's not so complicated.
Okay, let's look now at Tosfos for a second. Go back to the Tosfos. Tosfos and Lamed Chesam Beis. Lamed Chesam Beis.
It's not a chiddush.
That top Tosfos, Dibra Maskev Hilchasa, we didn't read the last line intentionally.
Because it's going to confuse us.
No, this is not going to confuse you. It's going to hopefully add meaning now to your Birchas Emotis now. Tosfos writes on the top there, if we go to the last line of that Tosfos, the last two lines, after bringing the Pasuk, Lohotzi Lechem Min Haaretz, he says, why are we not concerned of the mems next to Lechem Min Haaretz? Shouldn't we be concerned that you're going to swallow the mem?
Right.
He says, no, because it's a Pasuk. And then, based on the pasuk, he says, "Val kein, therefore, yesh lebetzoa." One should do the betzias hapas. Betzias hapas is the breaking of bread. So you lift it up, and then you break it, tear it, cut it. The betzias hapas has to be b'shtei yad of two hands, be'eser atzbaos, all 10 fingers, neged asar tevos sheva mikrazeh. The pasuk that he quotes before of matmiya chotzer lebehema ve'esev la'avodas ha'adam lahotzi lechem min ha'aretz. He brings bread from the ground. That is 10 words. Correspondent to the 10 words, we need to use 10 fingers on the bread when we lift it up. That's why, I'm sure many are, but when I do hamotzi, certainly on Shabbos, I probably forget during the week when I have a bagel, but maybe I do also, I lift up the bread, make sure all 10 fingers are touching the challah, the lechem mishnah, I say the bracha, and then I cut it.
Always, so, anytime you make a
motzi. Exactly, always. I'm only more machbed for some reason, I haven't accustomed myself yet. On Shabbos, I'm very machbed. I don't think about it as much during the week, I should, but when I have a bagel, I probably happen to have my 10 fingers on it because I'm just holding it anyways, but I'm not thinking of that for some reason. I should. So that's what Tosfos writes, because this pasuk, it says 10 words in this pasuk of Tilm, Alechem, and Aretz. We have our 10 fingers corresponding to the 10 psukim, 10 words.
You can put that little piece of bagel by the washing thing because no one's going
to right, right, exactly.
You know what
right.
I'm saying?
Yeah. It's probably better anyways to say take a bite out of your bagel than the little washing station.
Not probably. There's no question in the order of brachas that you need a full one
right.
over a piece.
Exactly.
And they mean well, though.
Sure.
You gotta pay.
Now, the only potential reason is, I thought, was because maybe distance.
Nah, that wouldn't be.
Different room.
Yeah. Still, no.
It's pretty small.
Yeah.
If the sink was in the back.
Fine. So let's go through now. There's another explanation. The idea of 10 fingers is not just this. Tosos is a tour. The tour, who's the son of the Rush, we've seen him many times, he says a different explanation. And he says the reason why you have 10 fingers is because because there are 10 different mitzvahs or isurim that are involved in when a person perform exactly the bread. And the mitzvahs are as follows. Person, lo sachosh b'shor b'chamor, you cannot have two different animals plowing your field. That's going to be an isur, it's klayim, having... Exactly. Next one is klayim itself. There's different types of klayim. One is crossbreeding actual foods together. Number one, leket. There's a mitzvah of leaving over for the ani. Shich, if I forgot something, the ani gets it. Peah, leave a corner. Exactly. Bikurim, the first fruits. Truma, Maaser Rishon, Maaser Sheni, and Chalam. These are 10 different mitzvahs that apply to foods, and therefore the 10 fingers correspond to the 10 mitzvahs, and that's why we place 10 fingers on the bread.
Is that including bracha and benching, or this is just before to prepare the bread?
This is for saying the bracha. This is for saying hamotzi. Let's go a little further though. Then the Beis Yosef, the Rav Yosef Karo says he takes out losachsim. He wasn't so comfortable with that one being one of them, and he He places losachtum, not muzzling, instead of bikurim. He takes bikurim off the list. And why does he take bikurim off the list? Because the Drisha explains, Drisha is one of the perushim on the side, bikurim only comes your first fruit of the season. You don't always have a mitzvah bikurim. So therefore, that wouldn't be one of the ten. As opposed to losachtum, the isser of muzzling an animal applies always, whatever you're plowing. So therefore, it's a more prevalent and relevant type of mitzvah. So he put losachtum, not to muzzle, instead of bikurim on the list of ten. The Gra, interestingly, writes that he places the mitzvah of tzedakah instead of losachosh. Instead of the plowing of two different animals together, he places tzedakah as the tenth one. I don't know why he does that, I'm not sure. And then there are other gemaras that have brought, other psukim that have brought 10 words. So that's the idea of having 10 fingers placed on the bread. Now, in light of this, the Magen Avraham writes, a person, if he's wearing gloves, he should take his gloves off when saying Hamotzi, because you have to place the 10 fingers directly onto the bread. Now, with gloves, you wouldn't be accomplishing that. So that's what he writes down. And the Prima Gadim adds, so you would think this is something unique when it comes to Hamotzi. But when it comes to, let's say, saying a bracha on fruit or vegetables, there's no din of placing my 10 fingers on them. So I could keep my gloves on. So the Prima Gadim there writes that no, this applies to all brachos. It's not unique to Hamotzi of the 10 fingers. Yes, there's an added need of placing 10 fingers on Hamotzi, but your hands always have to be clean or clear of anything when saying any brachos. He doesn't explain why, but this also comes up, I believe, in Hilchos Tefillah. A person shouldn't daven with gloves on either. It's not the right way to daven. Remove the gloves in all instances. Another din is brought down when coming to saying a motzi. We now know what nusach to say. We now know you're supposed to place 10 fingers on. You're also supposed to lift the bread up when you're saying the bracha. Don't leave it down here. Lift it up. Show some chashivas to the bread. And the same thing applies when it comes to hamotzi on Shabbos, lecha mishnah. Lift up both breads. So the custom is brought down in the poskim. When you say baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam hamotzi lechem and aretz, you're supposed to lift it up. When you're saying halechem and aretz, you're supposed to lift it up even further when saying the bracha of hamotzi. And that applies both during the week and also lechem mishnah on Shabbos. Okay, I think we covered everything. Yeah, okay. Okay, I apologize, I came late, guys. Wait, one thing. Next week, what we're going to do is because of the